Amen. Colossians chapter 1, if you have your Bibles this morning, good to be in the Lord's house. Thankful for the good singing this morning. Colossians chapter 1, this morning we're going to be looking at the subject of deliverance. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this opportunity once again to gather in your house. And I just ask you to meet with us as your word is open. Just ask you, Lord, just to use your word to be a help to us today. And may it help me also in the process, and that it be a strength to us, that it be a reminder to us. So we're in 4th of July weekend. We celebrate America's independence. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we can have through your Son, Jesus Christ. As we look at that this morning, I trust it'll be a help. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this being 4th of July weekend, I believe the Lord would have us to look at freedom, but not just any kind of freedom, spiritual freedom. I trust you've been set free today from the powers of darkness. It takes a power greater than yourself to be delivered from the powers of darkness. And the only power greater than ourselves and greater than Satan and greater than death, hell, and the grave is Jesus Christ. He is the great deliverer. It don't matter what you're in prison to, what you're in bondage to, Christ can set you free from it all. And in Colossians 1 and verse 13, that's where our emphasis is going to be this morning, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Delivered means freed, released, transferred, or transmitted, passed from one to another, committed, yielded, surrendered. Then we see this last word, rescued. Then we look at power. It means divinity, to have dominion over some part of creation as celestial powers, the powers of darkness. I don't think we understand fully, but in order for darkness to remain in darkness without any change, it would require force. It would require power. People that hate God, many atheists, many under demonic influence, in order to stay unchanged, power is needed. Through demonic power, people reject Christ all the time. And the devil is powerful, which means that darkness needs power. When you go out on soul winning, you find out very quickly that darkness has power. I cannot tell you the times that everything has been fine until we transition from pleasantries to getting into the nuts and bolts of the gospel, so to speak. And that is when everything comes unhinged. The baby starts acting crazy. The kids start acting crazy. The dog starts acting crazy. I cannot tell you the times where everything comes unhinged as the gospel is being discussed. There is power on the side of darkness. Now, I tell you, the devil wants this world to remain in darkness. So when there is a threat of light, the devil gets to fighting in overtime. The devil fights for a world that's lost in their sins. He fights for them to remain blinded to their sin. Now, when we define darkness, it means infernal gloom, hell, or utter darkness. Matthew 22, verse 13, great trouble and distress, calamities, perplexities. We see also in our definition the empire of Satan. So the definition refers to outer darkness. In Matthew 22 and verse 13, then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Great troubles our definition says, and distress, calamities, perplexities. But I want you to know that if you have been delivered from the powers of darkness, your distress is not as bad. Your calamities are not as bad. Your perplexities are not as bad. It has been said that a bad day serving Jesus is better than a good day serving the world. And we can all say that troubles that we face today as children of God are not as great as they were before we were delivered from the powers of darkness. Now, I'm reminded of the children of Israel often because we, myself included, are like the children of Israel many times. When you consider the main players in their story of deliverance, you have God. You have God's man in Moses. You have God's chosen people in Israel. You have a portrait of the world in Egypt. You have a type of Satan in Pharaoh. And like the children of Israel, we know that the world and slavery to the world is bad. Then Christ delivers us from it. Then we meet some misfortune as we see it. And if we were looking at it through Spirit's eyes, we would know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called into His purpose. But we don't always look through Spirit eyes. So we get out of Egypt at times. We face some hard times and we say things like, Egypt wasn't that bad at all. I was in slavery there. I was in bondage there, but I had more money there. My car worked in Egypt. Man, I sure did have some good friends in Egypt. Not being reminded that when we were in Egypt, we were in chains. We were in bondage to the God of this world. We were blinded to the truth. And I remind you today, life is not better in chains. Freedom is free. And Christ made us free. I'd rather eat a can of tuna in freedom than a filet mignon and lobster tail in prison. I'd rather a vehicle that's falling apart in freedom than a Bentley in the driveway that I can't legally drive because my license has been revoked, too many OVIs, or I'm on house arrest or in jail or in prison. I'd rather have one friend in freedom than a whole host of fellow slaves. Spurgeon said, I'd rather be a lean bird in the woods than a fat bird in a cage. We got to be reminded that we've been delivered from the powers of darkness. And there's nothing back in the old world, in the old life for you. I see Christians all the time that God has done a mighty work in their hearts and families. They're living the best life they've lived in years. But they start drifting back into the world. They start drifting back into their old ways, back into bondage, back to slavery. But I tell you today, Jesus don't set us free to go back. Jesus didn't purge our life of things to go back. Like Scripture says, a dog returns to its vomit. You think of that portrait, it's a disgusting portrait. We got some dogs that, some things, to me, it should just be sense that you don't eat. You don't eat it. But they will eat it. Even if it came from them, they will eat it. And Scripture, the Lord knew something about this. Think of that portrait and you think about the body. When the body vomits, it's rejecting something. It's expelling something. The body's picked up on something that isn't good. You think about food poisoning. You ate something bad for you and it doesn't need to go through your body. It's amazing how God designed our bodies. People vomit drinking too much alcohol. That's the body saying, hey, no, no, that's not good. When the body vomits, it's rejecting something that isn't good for it, but a dog will go right back to it and eat it up. And there are people who are not much different. We see in Colossians 1 and verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Darkness could be hell. We established that already. It could also be a state of spirituality. hence the term spiritual darkness or spiritual wickedness. Ephesians 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is a reminder to us that our enemy is not each other. I don't care what look was given. I don't care what was said. I don't care what was done to you. The individual was only the vessel that was used. Just like we don't get mad at guns. We don't even necessarily get mad about people because it goes deeper than people. It goes deeper than the gun, and then it goes deeper than the people. Our enemies are not objects. They're not even necessarily people. Though objects and people can be used, our enemy is the devil himself. And when the devil gets in a man and when the devil gets in a woman, it's amazing what they'll do. That's why I say all the time, the world's coming at it from all the wrong angles. Yeah, we see stuff out in society that's not good. And yes, objects are being used in the wrong way. And yes, people are doing the wrong things with objects. But we're coming at it from the wrong way. We've got to come at it from the spiritual, which gets to the root of the problem. Now, from our first definition this morning is where we'll spend a lot of time. That's dealing with deliverance. It's dealing with delivering. The words that hit me the most from this definition are freed, released, rescued. So not only were we set free from bondage, not only were we released from the power of darkness, we were also rescued from the power of darkness. I don't know about y'all, but I consider in large part the Lord delivering me from the time that I was away from Him as a rescue. That was a rescue. I was on my way to the grave, full throttle. It was a rescue. It was a rescue for my family, my wife, our sons. It was a rescue for them. We could include Julius. Had the Lord not got me, we'd not got Julius. What would have happened to him? It was a rescue. It was an all-out rescue. Sometimes we need to be reminded of how lost we used to be. Amen. How low we used to be. How enslaved we used to be. You go through Colossians, you'll be reminded about grace and the power of grace. You'll be reminded of who you'd still be were it not for grace, and how much worse you would be today if it were not for grace. As I said before in a previous message, you don't just stay bad. You get worse. Looking back, I wouldn't have been able. I can barely recognize myself, who I was when the Lord brought me back to Himself, when I resurrendered my life to Him. And then from that moment, had I not got right, and had I survived to 2025, I'd have been looking back and saying, you know what? I don't recognize myself this day compared to who I was then. You get worse. Pick the worst person out there, and were it not for grace, that's where you'd be. There's powers that are in opposition to God. These powers have not won the war, but they can win some battles. We will lose battles at times to the powers of darkness. Why is that, though? Because we fight battles at times. We have the strength of Christ, but we're not perfect. We're flesh against an opponent at times that can whoop us. The powers of darkness has comrades. There's associates. There are many to perform. It's dirty work. Sin is literally everywhere. It is rampant. It's either out there easily accessible, or the path to get to it is easily accessible. And don't get me wrong, though, Christ has won the war over the powers of darkness, but we still lose some battles. But when it's all said and done, death and hell has been defeated. One day we'll have a home going. At our Savior's feet, we'll be laying crowns that we don't deserve. We need to always be reminded that it's only through Christ that we've been delivered. It's only through Christ that we've been set free. We've been released. We've been rescued. Once in bondage, once enslaved to sin, bound up tight to the God of this world. Such were some of you, the book of Corinthians says. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Paul says here to the church at Corinth, such were some of you. We could break it down this evening. Some of you were drunkards. Some of you were sodomites. Some of you were thieves. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you were effeminate. That's men acting like women, trying to dress and talk like women. Such were some of you, but ye are washed. God saved you is what he's saying. But he didn't save you to stay as you are. He saved you to conform you to his image. Such were some of you, which means he changed you. You don't do these things no more. When he sets you free from the powers of darkness no longer control you. They no longer hold you in bondage through sin. The devil has power over those that live and operate in his domain to keep them. To keep them, he sends alcohol their way. Sends drugs their way. He sends immorality their way. He sends things their way so that he can maintain control over them. He wants to keep them. He doesn't want to lose them. He wants them to do what he wants them to do when he wants them to do it. And by the way, the devil cannot have a fighter, whether it's man or woman, he cannot have a fighter. I've mentioned this before, as awful of a portrait as it is. You see it in human trafficking. They want their victims high, so they have no fight. They want them addicted to vice, so they have no fight. They're not going to try to escape. They'll have no fight. And it's a trick right out of the devil's playbook. To keep people where he wants them, he gives them drugs. He gives them alcohol. He gives them immorality. He don't want a fighter. What happens even sometimes at the end of life when they want somebody to just go on into death? They give them medicines that take their fight out of them so that they no longer have a will to fight. And then they'll drift on. Devil can't have a fighter. Gets them high on the world, high on sin. But I'm glad that the powers of darkness has no power over the powers of God. God can break through the bottle. He can break through drugs. He can break through sin if they trust in him. In Revelation 1, verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. So Jesus was dead, rose from the grave, and alive forevermore. In Romans 8, 37, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. It's very important to remember who you were, where you came from. And also bear in mind when you see those who are used of the devil, be reminded that you and I were at one time one of those who were used of the devil. Singing the devil's music, drinking the devil's drink, questionable morals, maybe. So when we get upset about others who are used of the devil, remind ourselves that at one time, we had not yet been delivered from the powers of darkness. And lastly, before we get ready to close, if you've been delivered from the powers of darkness, then act like it. Firmly believe we've got a lot of people in our churches across this globe, more so in America, because we've idolized the building, we've idolized the property, the facilities, the steeple, so to speak, the meeting location, the preacher or the music ministry, that we have a lot of people who've either never been delivered from the powers of darkness, or they lose way too many battles to the power of darkness. You may wonder how we can say that. Well, who are they controlled by? Which power? Power of darkness or the power of God? Through the power of darkness, sometimes many work in opposition to the power of God. They're on opposing sides. One of the things that's blown my mind since even in my childhood, but more so since entering into the ministry, is the amount of opposition at times to the things of God, even within God's house. I do believe in churches across this land, we have enemies to the cross of Christ disguised as friendlies, meaning they were never delivered from the powers of darkness. You know, they say cancer can lie dormant. There are people disguised as friendlies at times in our churches who are just lying dormant. Snake in the grass. And then one day they expose themselves. And when they do, it's ugly and it can progress fast. And every step you take, every turn you make, you face opposition. While you're about the Lord's work, keep an eye on those that oppose. I worry greatly about people who profess to have been delivered from the powers of darkness, but still being used of the devil all the time in opposition to God. Ask yourself this morning, is the leading to do right or is the leading to do wrong? That'll tell you the power that's trying to gain victory. Now, this is daily. This is daily. I don't know if it's getting older or what. I don't know. Or maybe it's something more spiritual than that. A spiritual malnourishment or something in my life. I don't know. But sometimes I struggle with my filter. And what comes out. Sometimes I struggle with that. And there's times I get up to that. I get up to that road and I recognize it as a juncture. I mean, it's obvious. They're say this or say that, and they're two completely different things. Two completely different things. Now, the flesh has a degree of power. We looked at that in Romans 7. Not enough to do right, but enough to convince you to do wrong. The flesh has some power. Sometimes we give the flesh power. Every day we'll be fighting for who has control over our life. The devil wants control. Our flesh wants control. God wants control. People that are used by the devil more scare me to death. Those that have been delivered from the powers of darkness are no longer in bondage to it, by and large. Which means they live a life that bears fruit of this freedom from the powers of darkness. No freedom, no salvation. They're still in bondage. Their father is still the god of this world, headed straight for hell. Everyone in here this morning needs to praise God if you've been delivered. It's no small thing. Be reminded that it is God that this world needs. And not just the world, but Jacksonville, Texas, and surrounding areas. This world is blinded to the powers of darkness, and we've been set free. You know, it's easier to recognize bondage after you've been set free. Sometimes you don't realize until you get on the other side. It takes someone that's free to help someone else. If you've been set free, you know who has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. We can set them free because we know who can. Lastly, again, if you've been set free, then act like it, look like it, talk like it, live like it. Don't find yourself going and sitting near where you've been released from. Nobody released from prison and truly ecstatic about freedom goes back and wants to get as close to prison as they can. They might love those that are inside, but they're in prison. And people who hadn't experienced freedom is not going to appreciate freedom. They ain't been set free themselves. They're not going to appreciate it. They're not going to help you be free, stay free. If they've never been set free, they're not going to appreciate it. If you've been set free, then I invite you to run in the freedom that God has granted you through the sacrifice of His Son. And if you've never been set free, never been delivered from the powers of darkness, then you can do that today. And I tell you what, freedom, it can go without saying, it's real simple, but freedom's free. Freedom's free, it is. Freedom is very freeing. I used to think that church and the Bible and Christianity was a lot of rules. And the things I wanted to do, I wasn't at liberty to do. And it was through that I ran from the Lord. I left the boundaries. And the Lord's not for me leaving the boundaries. But He taught me something by leaving the boundaries. I'm happy in of a boundary this narrow. I'm happy for it now. I wish I hadn't tested the outside of the boundaries, but I did. And now I know it's better inside the boundaries. But that's been me. I've shared my testimony many times. I had to learn things the hard way. I had to find out for myself. Somebody said something was hot. I had to test it. I had to see if it was. That was me. I had to test everything. I had to try it. I would not take anybody's word for something just about. I had to try it for myself. And I tried a lot of things for myself. To learn that there was more people in my life that was right than was wrong. And I wish I had listened to begin with. But I learned that true freedom is found within the boundaries of Scripture. That's where true freedom's found. There's a lot of people thinking that, oh, I'm free. There's people in prison right now that would tell you to some degree. Physically, they're locked up. They obviously recognize that. But it was their exploration of freedom that landed them there. And they thought they were free. They truly thought they were. To come and find out that there's more to freedom than what the world can offer. And I'm constantly praying for people. There's people who I know and love in different states who they're out exploring the world's version of freedom. They were out last night exploring the world's version of freedom. Guarantee it. Friday night especially, exploring the world's version of freedom. And I pray that one day the Lord opens their eyes to what true freedom is. That is found within Christ. You know why sometimes our churches are light on a Sunday morning? Because people are exploring freedom outside of church. They think there's more freedom out there. I can go out there, I can do this, that, and the other. And it's more freeing. It's more liberating. No. No. And I know that because I walked away from church. I walked away from church. And if I got away from the Lord, I've said this many times, if I got away from the Lord again, I know exactly what I'd do. I've already gone there. And I'd be out of church again. I would, I'll tell you right now, if I walked away from the Lord, it would end up me being out of church again. And our feet always follow our heart. Your heart's out these doors before your feet ever go out these doors. And that's what happened with me. My heart left the doors, my feet followed. My heart was set on drinking, my feet followed. Heart was set on sin, so I indulged as much of it as I wanted to. To then find out that there was no freedom there. My life was a wreck. I felt like my world was this small around me. I felt like I was crushing. That's not freedom. If you feel like you're getting ready to collapse and die under the weight of the world, that's not freedom. That's not freedom. That's day in and day out living in bondage, living in slavery to the devil and the world system. That's not liberty. That's not freedom. But praise God this morning, if you're saved and you're walking with Him, you know what freedom is, what spiritual freedom is. And I'm thankful for a free country, thankful for a free nation. There are people on both sides of the political aisle talking about wanting to leave America for this, that, and the other. Well, go ahead. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, go ahead. If you think another country is better, then go ahead. This one, not that I'm a captain, because I'm not, but this captain's going down with the ship. I don't care how bad it gets. I'm going to die at whatever my address is or whatever it is. I'm going down with the ship. I'll be buried in American soil. I appreciate freedom. Appreciate our nation. But beyond that, I'm thankful for spiritual freedom, which came through sacrifice. The sacrifice of God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Through Him, we can have spiritual freedom. Lord, as we come before You, thank You for Your Word.